Tonight, the psychic world, astral projection with Robert Bruce. So get ready, he's next on Coast to Coast AM. Robert Bruce is an internationally respected author, mystic, and speaker, a true spiritual pioneer. The experiment depth and scope of his knowledge is remarkable, and for more than 30 years, Robert has explored the mechanics, energetics, and dynamics of paranormal and spiritual phenomena, especially out-of-body experience, the human energy body, healing and self-healing, spiritual development, and psychic self-defense. His first-hand experience allows him to make sense of these things on a whole new level. Robert is a man who lives in the greater reality, invites others to join him as well. He lives down under. He's not down under right now, though. We've got him really close by here. And he's written several books, Mastering Astral Projection, Energy Work, Astral Dynamics, Practical Psychic Self-Defense as well. And he is our guest tonight on Coast to Coast. And back, by the way. Hello, Robert. How are you?
Good night, George. It's good to be back.
Always a pleasure. You're traveling these days, huh?
Yeah, I'm in North Carolina at the moment and loving it.
Well, what gets you over there?
I come over to visit friends and do workshops and seminars. I've got one coming up this weekend at the Monroe Institute in Faber, Virginia.
It's one of the great institutes, Robert, as you know.
Yeah, wonderful place. That one's fully booked at the moment, unfortunately. But I do have one coming up the weekend after in Cleveland, Ohio.
You know, you are rapidly becoming one of the world's most renowned experts with astral projection. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Yeah, it's sort of sinking in. I didn't mean to write all these books. It could have happened accidentally.
How so?
Well, going back to 1993, I discovered the internet and started hanging around news groups and that, and answering some questions, and people sort of noticed that I knew a lot about it because I've done it all my life. And I was inundated with questions, and I literally got tired of answering the same questions over and over again. So I wrote an article and then another article, and it went on. And yeah, and eventually I had a book. And then I accidentally bumped into a dear friend of mine now, Frank DiMarco, who is the editor-in-chief of Hampton Roads Publishing, accidentally again. And I mentioned I had a book. He said, oh, I'm a publisher. Let's have a look at it. So, yeah, it went on from there.
What kind of pushed you into the field of astral projection, of all of the things you've looked at? This is the one that stands out the most with you.
I started having spontaneous astral projections when I was about 4 or 5 years old. And I had a lot of them when I was young and through my teens. And, yeah, I just did it a lot. So I ended up knowing a fair bit about it when I was young. My parents got involved in spiritual interests when I was about 14, 15. I was exposed to a lot of books and things. And eventually, I when I was about 18 or so, 20, I read some books by Lobsang Rampa. Fairly ancient now, but and it gelled with me because I read about astral projection and that he taught in there, and I'd done it a lot myself, so I thought to myself, hey, I can do this, and I sat down and taught myself how to do it deliberately rather than spontaneously, and many years later, I took a more serious interest in my 30s and studied at the exit out of the body intently, which means I would do a lot of astral projection exits, and I'd feel for what was happening while it was when I was coming out of my body and what my energy body was doing, and that sparked my interest in the energy body, and energy work and astral projection go hand in hand. So over the years, I've it's just been a passionate interest and very natural.
You can do it now at will.
I wouldn't say it will. You need to be fairly relaxed, but if I want to do one, yeah, I can do one.
Well, that's good. You know, I've been still stuck in my body since I was 11, where I had it happen once, Robert, and yeah. I can't bust out. Now, why is it? What's the block for me and probably so many other people?
There's There's a lot of things that can make it difficult to get out of body. When you first had your OBE, it was a spontaneous one, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. And what happened during that OBE? Was it, were you scared? Were you excited?
Well, I was, again, about 11 or 12. I had stayed home from school. I had a fever. I very rarely missed school, but, you know, my temperature was hovering around 103 or so, and I just felt lousy. So I was in and out of the sleep state. Mm-hmm. But in this particular case, when I woke up, I was up there near the ceiling. And it was not a dream. I am convinced of that. And because I'll tell you what happened. I was looking at my body and I did get scared, Robert. I didn't know what it was. In that moment of fear, it just rammed me back down into my body. I mean, it was just like that.
It's a shock.
Yeah. And I woke up with this jolt. And the first inclination is, even at that age, was, what a horrible dream was that, or what was that? But then I realized a little bit later on, and I don't know why or how, that it was a real experience. And I kind of liked it, but I was never able to duplicate it again. And then off to the library I went to try to find and look for books on astral projection. And, you know, I would stumble across things that Sylvan Muldoon and Hayward Carrington from England would write.
Good books.
Yeah, they were. And that's what really started me onto this path as well.
Yeah.
You know, but I was never able to recreate it again. And I've tried, but I just, there's something holding me back. You know, it'd be easy to say, oh, yeah, I can do it all the time. I can't.
Yeah. It's some people take to it like a duck to water. I have taught teenagers, 15, 16 years old, who've never done meditation or anything in their life. And after 5 minutes instruction, they've gone home, sat down and done it. And they said, what's so hard about that? Hmm. And other people I've worked with and coached for a year or more, and they worked hard before they started to have them. But over the years of working with thousands of people with problems, we identified a number of common things. The first thing is, if you have a fearful experience in childhood, and you may have had some earlier than that you don't remember, that can traumatize you and cause a subconscious, like, flinch reflex, so that when you get anywhere near astral projection exit symptoms, commonly a falling sensation, whole body vibration, a surging of energy, a rapid heartbeat. Once you get anywhere near those, the subconscious blocks it off from you. It's like you flinch and tense up. We have created something wonderful for that. My co-author, Brian Mercer, and I, in my latest two books, Mastering Astral Projection, and the new release, only been out a few days, Mastering Astral Projection CD Companion, which is absolutely gorgeous, a lifetime's work in there, just for solving this problem. It walks you through the problem using altered state inducing binaural beats in the background, teaching you all the skills you need up to a full-blown exit out of body, and they're absolutely amazing.
In your opinion, Robert, if someone is successful in astral projection,
yes,
what's its purpose? What do they get out of it by being able to leave one's body? I mean, what are we doing here with it?
Well, the first thing you get, once you get past the, you could say, the recreational aspects of having fun, and it is a great experience, very, a lot of fun. The first thing you realize here is you can leave your physical body and exist independently. It's like being a spirit. It's a bit like dying temporarily and then coming back to your body. I mean, it doesn't involve death. It's a very natural thing. It gives you experience of existing separately from your physical body. And so that tends to ease the fear of death a lot, because you have first-hand personal experience of that. And keep in mind that everybody projects out of body every time they sleep. Animals project out of body every time they sleep.
You just hover right over your physical body, right?
Yeah, normally, it's what we call a sleep projection. You drift out of your body seamlessly when you fall asleep and float, hovering just above the physical body, often mimicking the sleeping physical body. And a lot of people, most people sort of stay that way during the night. And once a day, I think, possibly twice a day, something happens in the cosmos, in the galaxy, and that reels in all the projected doubles, all the astral projected doubles, animals, humans, everything, into, you could say, universal central. And then they are like breathed out again. And it seems to be almost like the life force in the universe, the collective consciousness, updates itself this way. I'm only guessing here through observations of witnessing this event happening. I call it the Akashic Pulse. But that's a natural purpose, I think.
When you astral project,
yeah,
do you go through these various levels and planes that they say are out there, some of which I don't want to hang around?
Yes, well, the first place you'll find yourself, if you do a deliberate astral projection, normally you will find yourself in what I call the real time zone. And that is like being in physical reality, normal physical reality, and you are like a ghost, a spirit, floating around, and you can fly, you can float through walls and travel the normal world. Most people would stay there for a very short time, a couple of minutes maybe, and then they would shift into the astral planes. And that is, there's a progressive structure to these planes, more and more refined levels of them. And there's an infinite number of astral realms and planes out there. And depending upon your level of, you could say, spiritual, intellectual, energy, vibration, you will tend to go to the level that you're most in tune with.
And were you ever attacked in the astral world?
Attacked only a couple of times, and I've done a lot of OBE, but the couple of times you could say I've been attacked, interfered with, have been times when I've been working with people in disturbed places, where I've been experimenting, you know, helping people with poltergeist possession problems, entity type problems. Mm-hmm. Infestations. In areas like that, I've encountered some spooky things in the astral, but that's the only place. The astral is normally a very quiet place. When you're close to real time, you'll rarely see another awake projector out there. You'll see people sleeping. When you get into the astral planes, usually the third and fourth astral planes, they're heavily populated. There are millions of people rushing around, and it is like bits and pieces of the world. It's a lot of it looks like a big shopping mall. It's the market scenario in the collective consciousness, I think. A big shopping mall. Lanes going down, and every 100 meters it breaks into a park, and there's buildings from different parts of the world. It's very confusing, lots of people there, and it's almost like the people there only have a part of their consciousness. They're very focused on what they're doing. You can't really hold a serious conversation with them. Occasionally, you'll find someone who's more conscious. Higher up in the astral planes, you find more conscious people.
Are these people who have died, or just people who are astral projecting?
Well, it's hard to tell, but the vast majority of these people are people who are projecting, and they are like semi-conscious rather than sleeping above their body. They're a step out into the lower astral planes, which is, say, heavily populated. It's like being in New York, throngs of people everywhere.
Okay, you do not see their physical body or, you know, the person lying in his bed or her bed, do you?
No, not at all. Not up in the astral planes. No, they usually gleam. And people in the astral plane, you will never see any old people, overweight people, sick people, injured people. Everybody looks perfect. And the physical age seems to set around 30, 35-ish. So everybody looks around about that age.
Why is that?
I think it's the body image. We have a body image which we carry. And when you get old, and I've asked old people this, people in the 70s and 80s, my mother, for example, and said, you know, she said, Robert, I'm 77 years old. She says, but I don't feel that. I still feel like I was 20 or 30 years old. But I look down and my hands are all wrinkled up and look in the mirror. And it's a shock sometimes. Her body image inside, she still felt a young, vital woman.
It's amazing how the mind does that.
Well, in the astral dimension, it's a very fluid dimension, and it's influenced by mind. And you have creative abilities there. So if you hold a body image, you have a natural body image, and that will form your astral body, what other people will see. Now, if you can hold another body image, let's say you hold the body image of being a tiger. If you can really hold that body image, what it feels like to be a tiger, you will shift into the shape of a tiger in the astral.
That means I'll be a frog or something like that, Robert.
Yeah, you could do. If you, for example, wanted to create something, say a baseball bat, and you hold up your hand and you imagine a baseball bat being there in your hand, it will, over a few seconds, it will form like a misty outline of it, and over a few more seconds, it will solidify, and you've got what looks like and feels like a baseball bat in your hand.
Is the astral plane the road to either heaven or hell? I mean, is it that path?
Can be. The astral thing is really anything you want it to be, and you will find in the astral planes, apart from the structures which are built into it through the mind of man, you will find in there what you take in with you. If you were looking for heaven and hell, there are areas there in the astral which you could say are the heavens, and there's multiple areas like that. There are areas in there which you could liken to being hells. But those particular areas, either of them, are difficult to get to. The heavenly areas are quite a high level of consciousness. It's quite a feat to get into them. And same with the lower, darker type areas. You wouldn't slip into them accidentally. You would have to either want to go there or have a mindset that thinks you believe you need to be there for some reason. You're creating it yourself.
Do you ever stumble across your loved ones who have passed on in the astral plane?
Yes, I have, definitely. In the higher astral planes, I've met people who have, people I loved who have passed on. My son, when he passed on when he was 8 years old.
I'm sorry to hear
that. And my mother and my father and all the people I've known have been there.
Do they find you or do you find them?
Well, at times I've encountered them individually and one or two at a time here and there, different areas in the astral for different reasons. And other times when I've made it into the, you could say, one of the heavenly realms, it's been, and which is an enormous energetic feat to get into these areas as a human being. When I've got there, I've found all these people, everybody I've known and loved, and animals as well, waiting there for me. Almost like they were expecting me. And I've even seen angelic type beings and you could say spirit masters and that around. Part of it looks very, very typical Judeo-Christian angels and trumpets and things. Other parts of it look more different, less stamped in that way.
Do you create an environment in the astral plane also, Robert, where you can make it look like that movie, What Dreams May Come, with Robin Williams, where most of it looked gorgeous? Can you do that, or is it already set in stone? It is what it is.
Definitely can in the astral. If you realize your creative ability, if you look out, it just depends on what level of the astral you're at. The creative ability varies. In the real-time zone, creative ability takes more effort. As I say, to create a baseball bat would take several seconds. And when you stop thinking about it, it's actually a thought form. And if you stop thinking about it, it will disappear. If you keep doing that and put some energy and time into it, it will stay more solid for longer. In the higher astral planes, creativity is a lot faster. If you look out over a scene, there may not be much there, say it's a desert scene, and if you in your mind imagine a beautiful beach there, a beach will appear. Other areas of the astral are extremely fluid. If you look out in front of you and just make a command, say the grass is purple, it will instantly turn purple. And you say there are palm trees at the back, palm trees instantly appear. And you could create mindscapes, infinite ones. It's quite amazing, but it is variable depending on the level you're at.
Robert, when we come back, answer this question. Is there a danger in staying in the astral plane too long? We'll be back. This is the last week that we're going to have the double CDs of Father Malachi Martin available for you when you order your After Dark subscription or even renew. These are old classics, so take advantage of it. They will not be reproduced any longer, and they will only be given out through the end of this week. So call 1-888-727-5505 if you've been waiting. That's 1-888-727-5505, or go online at coasttocoastam.com. Now, Robert, is there a danger in staying in the astral plane too long?
No, there isn't, George. I'll tell you why. There's a couple of things to consider here. Getting back to the IBE you had when... You were 11 or 12. You were floating near the ceiling above your body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, connecting your astral body to your physical body are several energy filaments, which are normally not visible during an astral projection. You normally have to look for them. And the one most commonly seen is the one coming from the navel called the silver cord. And you normally only see it when you deliberately look for it, although it can be seen accidentally. And that will stretch to any length, even if you go to other galaxies.
And it won't break, right?
It will not break. Now, the other thing to consider here is that the original copy of your mind and your memory and your spirit never leave your physical body while it still lives. What happens during an astral projection involves something I discovered 15 years ago. It's called the mind split effect. And what happens is when you fall asleep, your energy body expands and it into what Robert Monroe called the second body, and that generates an astral double which is projected out of you.
Okay.
Now, this is an exact copy of your body, your mind, your memory, energetic copy. It's like the RAM in a computer. When it's booted up, you know, memory exists in RAM, electronic RAM.
Mm-hmm.
And when you turn it off, it disappears. But now, for example, if you are out of your body and you are having an experience, and you can be awake, partially awake and usually paralyzed in your physical body at the same time, still
functioning. That's an important point, too. People do tend to have that paralysis right before astral projection.
Yeah, that is a major symptom of astral projection, either full or partial paralysis. And whenever you get paralysis, an astral projection is in progress. You've already projected out. It's like the energy of your consciousness can only be split so many ways. And when you project out your projectable double, your astral body, a lot of that energy goes into the astral body and disempowers the physical body from moving. You can still be thinking, even partially ambulatory, very, very groggy, or fully paralyzed, depending on how much energy has gone into your astral double. But if anything were to happen to your astral double under some circumstances I cannot conceive, and I have pushed the envelope right to the limit and beyond, if anything were to happen to your astral body, it's like the RAM in a computer. The RAM disappears if you switch the computer off, but reboot it and everything comes back to normal again. You may have lost some data. Maybe the memory experiences of your astral double while it's been out, but the original copy from the moment you projected is still there.
So now when you tell me you've pushed this to the limit, what do you mean? How far have you gone here?
Well, I've tried to go as far as I could experimenting with this. I've tried to go to find the edge of the universe. For example, I think Robert Monroe did a similar thing. And interestingly, long before I read his books, I tried to get to the edge of the universe, and at the speed of you can accomplish in the astral is relative to the distance before you, and you can literally have galaxies whizzing by you like telephone poles at high speed. And right at the edge, as far as I could go, it took me a long time to find a place where there weren't any galaxies. When I finally pushed it and tried to get to the edge of it, I found a brick wall there, a gigantic mega brick wall. And I thought to myself, this is crazy. It can't be. So I started with my mind tearing that apart, and it dissolved in front of me and broke apart. And behind that, I found exploding suns and massive burning meteorites. And I realized then I was looking at the primal causal forces of creation around the edge of the universe. And I think a lot of this is archetypical, symbolic, what I was seeing. It's my mind's best way of interpreting the energies of what I'm looking at. But a lot of other things I've done, and I'm still here.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. And by the way, if you really wanted to have an astral projection, and I guess you've tried here and there.
Yes.
My new CD series, just been released, Mastering Astral Projection CD Companion, is as good as I say it is. I'll give you a copy of that, and if you would like, I will personally coach you.
Okay, you got a deal.
Now, given the symptoms of what you experience while you're using these things here, I can pretty well, I know everything, basically, or most of the things, I should say, that could happen. And the symptoms you give me back and what's happening, I can pretty well diagnose and advise you on what to do and what not to do.
Okay, how long does the process take from when we start?
Well, that depends a lot. There's a massive amount of variables. The book we base that upon, Mastering Astral Projection, is a 90-day guide, structured guide for a complete beginner. On day one, you learn this. On day two, you learn that. You need to learn to relax your physical body to a good level. You need to learn to relax your mind completely and quieten your thoughts down. And you need to learn some energy work to raise your energy and move some energy through your body and develop your energy body a little bit. And that is an enormous help for astral projection. And it is quite doable. I've had some cases, I've worked with people and they've worked really hard. The worst case scenario, one of the worst I should say, is my beloved co-author Brian Mercer. He'd had a spontaneous OB or two like yourself, and when I first met him after I published Astrodynamics, he'd written up a program for himself based on Astrodynamics. And when I saw that, I thought, hey, this is really good. Brian, would you like to co-author a book together? And the book started to happen. And part of the deal was, during the process of this, to prove the book, if it were, while we're writing it, I coached Brian through astral projection. And he worked very, very hard at this, very, very serious man. But it took like a year of hard work. And then he started to have OBEs, and near the end of the book, actually. And then he started to have more and more OBEs. And now he has them quite regularly.
Ah. Okay, well, I'll do this.
But that was a difficult case.
I'll do this, and I'll report it to you and to the Coast audience.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And the experiences that I go through. I'll put it down almost like a journal.
Nothing like first-hand experience, George.
Absolutely.
It's fascinating process.
And you're sure I'm going to come back, right?
I absolutely guarantee you'll come back. It is absolutely safe to do astral projection, out-of-body experience, because of the mind split effect. If anything were to happen, which I can't conceive of, and your astral body fell into a black hole or something, which it couldn't come back from, and I've tried to find a black hole and do that to see if it would work, but black holes are pretty hard to find because they're black, and space is black. So it's, boy, the seat of your pants are difficult to find. But it's, no, I've worked with thousands of people and done an awful lot of this myself. And it is a really safe thing to do because of this.
My goal, my real goal, is to go to other planets and just view them.
That's doable.
And now, how close, in your opinion, would you consider astral projection from remote viewing?
They are very much related. I know a number of talented remote viewers, and when they get to a certain level of remote viewing, they start what they call bilocating to the target scene, and they will feel like they appear there, and they're actually there. I think Nostradamus did something very, very similar, keeping in mind that remote viewing is the modern term for clairvoyance. Mm-hmm. And with clairvoyance, remote viewing, you will often find yourself shifting to the target area and having an out-of-body experience. I don't call it that, but that is what I think is happening.
Now, You've done a lot of work in the arena of energy work as well, Robert.
Yes.
How does that cross? I mean, where does that stem from, the energy work?
Well, the energy work is an enormous help to develop the human energy body, the subtle energy body. And this is what makes the difference between being able to project for most people and not being able to have projection experiences. By learning to develop the energy body and excite it to a level where you produce a stronger version of the astral projected double, you know, astral body, something strong enough to hold awake consciousness. And quickly back onto your OBE, it's interesting there. You were ill at the time, mm-hmm. and you've been ill for a couple of days?
Probably, if I recall, you know, at least one or two days.
I can get an enormous amount of data out of simple experiences. What you've got there, because you were so ill, you would have been having frequent arousals during sleep. You're not feeling well, you cough, you wake up, or partially arouse. And that partial arousal gives you many, many, many chances to download the astral projection, because astral projection is absolutely easy. Anybody can do it with 5 minutes instruction. Guaranteed, they will have it. If you can fall asleep, you can have an astral projection.
I think what happened to me is I merely, at least my consciousness, woke up in the astral body.
Yep. Your body aroused slightly and triggered your waking up in the astral. But now, your shock and surprise at that, what that did, because the big problem of OBE is downloading the memory of the astral projection. Normally, if it slips in very gently, that memory of the astral projection experience downloads into unconscious levels of memory. But now, you were shocked and surprised, and I hear this over and over again from people. Something happens, they've got a toothache keeping them awake or a broken arm or something, and then something happens to disturb them. And in the astral projection, when you're out of body, you had a shock, whoa, what's happening? Am I by the ceiling? And you formed a very strong, passionate memory. And then you were yanked back into the physical body because through the connection with it, you also surprised the astral body, your physical body, which caused it to arouse and pull you back in again. But the memory of your astral body was strong. So that formed the final wrinkle. It downloaded and became the dominant memory for that time. Because if you're awake in the physical and the astral, you've got two sets of memories for the same time period. And if the astral projection ending when you reintegrate is too gentle, there's no strength in the astral projection memory, then it's not going to download into conscious memory. And this is the areas I work on, the energy work, techniques for getting back into the astral, your physical body, and retaining that memory and downloading it. And it makes it much more doable.
Well, and that jolt was something else too, Robert, I got to tell you. I mean, when you splat back into your physical body, I mean, it's really a jarring effect.
Yeah, it's like falling off a building into soft sand. It's sort of big woof.
The projecting of the astral body, is it also, in your opinion, like time travel? I mean, I always thought astral projection, unlike remote viewing, was real time. You would astral project if you went to other planets, if you went to other areas, if you went to see your friend's house. It was always done in real time, almost as if the Scrooge character in the Christmas Carol, where he was peering in on things as they were occurring. Is that the same? Are we just doing it in real time, or can you go out into the future, or maybe even the past?
Yeah, definitely. What happens there? Most people in the astral stay in real time close to the Earth, or even in the astral, where time is very fluid. I mean, a few hours in the astral can be like 30 seconds down here in the physical time. But the most people, wherever they are, we have an ingrained sense of linear time, where we are now. But if you can wrap your mind around being in the past or in the future, and you form that intention to do that, then you can easily travel into the past or into the future. The future exists as a probability energy. And you can shift into that and observe the future, how it will probably be. And the probability of certain events in that is variable. Some things are almost absolutely set in stone, like maybe an earthquake or a volcanic eruption or something, because the forces at work are so massive and unstoppable. Other things like maybe the person you marry, the car you buy, the job you get, all these things depend on a lot of variables. You stop and tie your shoelace and meet somebody, and next minute you've married somebody else. I mean, it's a lot of variables involved. Yeah, and the past is the same. If you can wrap your mind around the past and explore that with an open mind and intention, you can travel back into the past. You really need to really do that accurately. It's best to go back through solid anchor points, like through times that you remember, like a time when you were sick in bed and had that first OBE. You could lock in onto that with your mind and your memory and project back to that time. And then further back from that using other memories. And you can get a reasonable sort of lock using historical events and that to get back to them.
When you are projecting and you're in the astral world, but you're projecting, let's say you're going to somebody's house. Let's just say you want to go to your friend's house and you see them sitting down having dinner. Can they see you at all? Are they sensitive enough? Is there anybody sensitive enough to say, my God, I thought I just saw it? Robert there.
Oh, definitely. I have friends of mine who are very psychic. I was talking to some friends. If you have mind's eye vision ability, or if you are psychic enough to work, sense in this area, if a good strong astral projector comes into your house, you will feel them. And if they pass near you or through you, it feels like any spirit will feel. You'll get this cold tingling, somebody just walked over my grave feeling. That's the sign your energy body gives you through your nervous system that there is a spirit or an astral projector close by or passing near you or through you. But you can definitely see them if you have the mind's eye vision ability.
You know, we talked about going through evil planes, and I want to talk a little bit more about that when we come back at the end of the hour. But in your opinion, and you were saying that when you were helping people in poltergeist episodes, what's the worst time you've ever had astral projecting?
Worst times. I've encountered negative beings in the astral, and including demonic varieties, and I wouldn't say they've been like attacks. I've had interference and encounters with them, but I've learned a long time ago how to defend myself in the astral using my creative ability, intention, and willpower. And I mean, literally, what you create in the astral is quite real. And if you create a baseball bat, it's quite real in the astral to another being in the astral. And you could use it the same way you could in physical reality, or a sword and armor, or create an RPG or a machine gun, anything, whatever your mind wants to create. If you put the energy into that, you can create that. Or you can create various shields and energy weapons and things if you need to. Or you can just imagine yourself growing really, really big. Say you're Titanic and whatever's bothering you is very, very small.
That is an incredible ability that every human has the capability of doing. Do you think the ancients did this too?
Oh, definitely. I see signs in archaeology and artwork and that, which shows me they had profound knowledge. For example, go back to the Egyptology.
Sure.
The statues or depictions of Amon Ra, or Amen Ra, as he was more commonly known, and the golden headpiece of Amon Ra called Uraeus. There's a golden circlet, 3.5, and you have a golden circlet around the head with a rampant cobra at the front.
Like a halo.
No, it's around the forehead. It goes.
Ah,
and there's
okay.
A rampant cobra coming off the brow. Well, that depicts Kundalini energy rising. The 3.5 coils and the cobra is symbolic of depicting the physical sensations of a Kundalini rising. If you do a full Kundalini rising, it feels like a serpent moving up through the body and a cobra head coming out of your forehead.
Stay with us, Robert. Back in a moment with you on Coast to Coast AM.